Hello, I'm Cynthia Ng. This is Owani Review. On this episode, we will be taking a closer look on the concept of earned wage access. To put it simply, earned wage access is whereby employees will no longer need to wait till the end of the month until they get paid. So EWA is a fairly new concept in Malaysia, and a startup in Malaysia is trying to change the payday culture or the salary market with this concept. I'd like to introduce the co-founders of Payd, P-A-Y-D. Joining me right now is Justin Kong to my left, and we also have Darvish Daswani. Thank you so much for having me at your office.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Now, before I delve deeper into earned wage access, which I believe Justin has spoken about in one of our shows prior, I want to talk about a company and how you started Payd, P-A-Y-D. What led you to this? Maybe Justin, I understand that there's a personal story to how this started.
Yeah, so, you know, earlier in my career, when I was a fresh graduate, I experienced kind of living paycheck to paycheck, you know, managing finances, managing taxes, bills, all of that type of thing. Obviously, as a fresh grad, you don't earn very much money. So I experienced actually running out of money before payday, you know, having to make sacrifices, what you eat for lunch, what you eat for dinner, trying to make ends meet until you actually got paid. So that was kind of my story in terms of having experienced the problem. Mm-hmm. I think when I started out my career as well, payday lending was a really big thing back then. It was solving a similar problem when people ran out of money before payday, but in a very different manner, where interest rates were very high.
Right.
A lot of people were driven to bankruptcy because of that. So I understood the problem there, and earned wage access is just another way of solving that problem in a much more ethical manner.
All right. Darvish, how did you come into the picture?
So my story is slightly separate to Justin's. We were lucky enough to meet at an incubator in Singapore about just a year and a half ago. But prior to that, I actually lived in Africa for about 6.5 years of my life. And growing up, one of the key things that I saw is that individuals who actually need access to credit are the ones who don't get it, who get the most expensive access to credit. And I think, you know, I figured there must be a better way. So about, you know, 3 years ago, I heard of the concept of earned wage access, and I fell in love with it because, you know, what it is really transferring the risk mm-hmm. from an employee to the employer, basically making sure that the employer pays us back rather than the employee having to do so. And by that, we could cut significantly into the, you know, the interest rates and the cost of funding somebody or financing somebody in a short term. And that was the reason I wanted to get involved.
Let's talk about how earned wage access work on the Payd platform. A member signs on to it, and what's next then?
So we actually are a B2B2C model. So we work with the employer to then work with their employees. So we mainly target, Malaysia is our home market. So we mainly target Malaysian employers. So once we sign up with the HR team, what we do is we then give access to Payd and earned wage access to their employees. The key thing to earned wage access is the employee during the month has to earn their money before they can take it out. So as an example, if somebody earns, say, you know, 3,000 ringgit a month, they earn 100 ringgit a day. We give them access to up to 50% of that once they've earned it. So on day one, if they've earned 100 ringgit, they can access up to 50 ringgit. And that's how it works. Over time, you know, during the month, they can accumulate that money. So on day 10, they've earned 1,000 ringgit and they can get access to 500 ringgit. Obviously, the way this works is they can take out that money during the month, but then it's paid back via their paycheck at the end of the month. And that's how earned wage access works, right. And that's why we work with the employer first.
And I imagine the people that you're targeting are people who probably are struggling to pay their bills at the end of the month, living paycheck to paycheck. Can you talk a bit about that, and why do you see like this solution could solve some of the issues they're having?
Yeah, so mainly our targets are probably the B40 and half the M40 is how we see it, right? So bottom 60% of earners in Malaysia. You know, I think almost half the Malaysian population live paycheck to paycheck. So they struggle to make ends meet, and this is kind of the problem that we're solving. You don't really have many options when that happens. You know, typically you go to family and friends. A lot of the time people actually end up going to money lenders, whether it's legal or illegal. The costs are really high. So with our solution, you can actually access that money without actually going into debt at all. So it's just accessing money which you've already earned. And people use it for, you know, basic necessities like food and petrol. Some use it to support family members. Other people use it to pay their loans on time. So it's a variety of reasons where people may need money.
And how soon can they get the money when they submit an application to access their salary?
So everything is within our app. Once they register, they can see how much money they can take out. Mm-hmm. They just take out, they just make the request, and typically you'll get it within minutes.
All right. I definitely see the value for employees, but what's the benefit to employers to allow employees to access their cash as they earn it?
So there's quite a few, actually. I think we've seen with the great resignation, as we call it, that there's a lot of employees leaving their companies at the moment. One of the key things that Earned Wage Access helps with is employee retention. A large part of that is because when we're targeting the low wage income earners in terms of helping them, you know, the difference between earning 1500 and 1600 ringgit a month is quite big for them, and that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's a big reason to leave your company. However, you know, getting access to your funds or to your money whenever you want to, that for them, that freedom and flexibility that they don't get anywhere else is worth more than the money of, you know, the extra money that they get from moving. So one of the big things that we see is retention. The other thing is, you know, in a world where you can get your money, you can get food whenever you want, you can travel wherever you want as quickly as you can, you know, with the click of a button and get a car, you know, an on-demand generation is what we've turned into. And so in terms of attracting the new generation of employees, what they're really looking at is, you know, instant gratification at times, right? So getting access to your money whenever you need it, getting access to your financial flexibility for your own wages, that's something that increases the, you know, the younger generation basically, mm-hmm. To coming to some of these companies. So the two main reasons people tend to use us is, you know, current employee retention and then attracting, you know, the younger generation of employees.
Okay, well, that's interesting you brought out on-demand culture that we have now, because I look at Earned Wage Access and I see this as a platform to solve some of the financial problems that people are having, financial management and access to cash, especially to pay for necessities. Do you see that Earned Wage Access should be something that people look to from time to time as a support, a lifeline, or should it be part of a culture?
My honest answer to that is, you know, I think it's dependent on the individual, right? I think what we've seen is that people are using it for, you know, for emergencies, paying for fuel, paying for family issues. But we're also seeing quite a number of the individuals using it on a weekly basis, because all of these individuals live day to day. And what tends to happen is that, you know, they get a lump sum of money at the start of the month, and the, you know, employers just assume that your employees know exactly what they're doing with their money. Mm-hmm. The truth is, most of these individuals who live paycheck to paycheck will get to the, you know, 20th of the month and have a choice to make as to whether or not, you know, they can afford food. And that's because a lot of these individuals don't actually have the financial literacy necessary in order to make those decisions. So by breaking it down into a weekly basis, we're actually moving towards what they're already used to doing, you know, spending day to day and living day to day. So I think it depends on who the person is, but I do think it's already a cultural thing. Earned Wage Access is just fitting into that. It's not the other way around. We're not creating a culture. We're just building something for the existing users.
Is it difficult to get buy-in from employers? Because I see this concept and I see how it can solve some of the inefficiencies within the human resources department. And how does it can they incorporate this into their existing operations?
So I think when we kind of started this almost a year ago in Malaysia, when we started speaking to employers, a lot of the questions was like, what is it? You know, it's a lot about the education on Earned Wage Access as well. I think as a result of the pandemic, the employers as well really started to understand financial well-being and the role that they could play in their employees' lives. It's no more that my employee is absolutely fine, they've got no issues. They kind of see it coming mm-hmm. a bit more, either through their employees or, you know, of what they see in the press. So could be things like right now inflation's going up. Probably about a year ago, people were struggling to make ends meet as household income was falling. Sometimes it's not their own employee, but someone else within the household who needs their support. So I think all these factors increased awareness of how employers view and financial well-being of their own employees. I think as well with improvements in technology that we've seen, like improvements in the banking system over the last few years, we can actually provide this service to the employees in a very efficient manner. Probably 5-10 years ago, if you wanted us to have an app, someone requested money from the app, you're not going to get it instantly, right? Whereas now we can actually facilitate that process.
You started a company, both of you started a company right in the middle of the pandemic and 2020, I believe.
Yeah.
Has the pandemic been negative or positive to your company?
We see the need more from an employee's perspective. And mm-hmm. I think because of that as well, employers are more aware of the kind of role that they need to play in improving financial well-being. I think financial well-being and earned wage access has taken off in other parts of the world. Yeah. So some of our larger clients who have international operations have already heard of it from some of their colleagues overseas. So and coming in and we're introducing this into Malaysia, and people are a lot more aware of it and the benefits that it can bring to their workforce. You know, when we come in and we explain why it's good for their employees, sometimes it's very different to say their colleagues in the US or the UK explaining to them earned wage access and the impact that has had on their workforce.
You know, globally, some of the large employers, such as in the US, like Walmart and McDonald's, I think Uber have also adopted earned wage access. Do you think it has caught on in Asia or Southeast Asia? And what else do you think is needed to push this out?
Yeah, it's definitely caught on in Southeast Asia. I think there's a number of large names using it across across different countries. You know, earned wage access has taken off in Indonesia, obviously Malaysia, Thailand, India, Pakistan. So it's now coming here. I think what else is needed, you know, the key thing that's been lacking is most of the time, and this is in any country, right? Employers have never really been part of that financial well-being or financial literacy piece because they've never had to be. You know, we've always talked about help your employees, give them insurance, help your employees, give them, you know, gym access. But things like mental health and financial health are things that are finally becoming part of the workplace. You know, employees are stressed at work. Employees are using, you know, their time at work to look for financing. You know, the average individual takes about 3 hours every time they need to find financing, and that's coming out of their work time. So I think employers now need to start understanding that their responsibility is there to take care of their employees outside of just giving them a paycheck.
Who are you targeting? Who's your target audience for this?
I think it's, you know, for us, it's anyone who employs the B40, right? And you know, we've been lucky enough to sign on some of the larger clients in Malaysia so far. But you know, from an SME perspective, all the way up to the enterprise value clients, you know, anyone who's within retail, F&B, manufacturing, construction, healthcare, you know, there's a number of industries that can use this. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a large target. You know, GLCs, etc.
All right. I do see also the value of visibility because allowing workers to see their earned salary in real time and give them access and assessment into their financial situation. Do you see that this can help people make more responsible financial decisions with the use of EWA platforms?
Yeah, I think one is there is like the need for it, right? There are many reasons why people may need money before the end of the month or that they run out if they're living paycheck to paycheck. You know, one example of how people can actually use it responsibly to their own benefit is what is you actually avoid having to go somewhere else would actually cost you more money. And most importantly, if you don't repay that money, there is typically a stick, right? It could affect your credit rating.
Yep.
It's very expensive and it's sometimes a hole which is very difficult to get out of. Another example is making loan repayments on time. So previously, before you had access to your own wages, you just not pay your loan, car loan, housing loan, whatever it may be. You'd wait till the end of the month and pay that. By then, you'd have late interest payments, you'd have late fees, and it will also affect your credit.
And how much does your company charge per transaction? Or is it a subscription model? Who pays?
No, it's a pay-as-you-go model.
Okay.
And you know, I think we charge somewhere around 10 ringgit per transaction at the most.
Okay. All right. Okay. So can you just talk about some of their enterprise clients and who they are and what industries are they in?
In terms of industries, we have quite a variety. So we've got F&B, retail, healthcare, we've got call centers, hospitality. So quite a variety of them. In terms of clients, what can we actually share? We've got those ranging between, I think some of the smallest clients we have a few hundred employees.
Mm-hmm.
Largest ones that we've got about 15,000-20,000 employees.
Okay, and as you scale, I imagine the first step is to get more enterprise clients and then the employees will come on board, right? What has been the biggest obstacle for you in getting their attention and getting them to sign on?
For the employees?
For the employees.
For the employees, getting their attention, I think, you know, when we go into a meeting, a sales meeting, it could be One is getting to understand what it is, you know, exactly how it works, and have them believe that it has an impact on their business. We felt that, you know, I think I previously mentioned that 12 months ago is very different than what is it. They had to understand and get actually buy-in into believing earned wage access would have a positive impact on their business, or that the employees would even need it. Now it's less of that, but, oh, tell me about how your solution is better for my business, you know, what are the differences that you've made to your existing clients. So, and they also know that some of the competitors are already offering it, so it's a very different kind of process, which means that the sales cycle is a lot shorter. Decisions get made a lot faster, but getting the employer to sign up is very different to kind of explaining it to an employee base as well.
The altruistic values, I definitely see it, but I mean, companies, they look at bottom line at the end of the day. How much savings can it help them? Can an EWA platform help in their savings and their payrolls and cash management?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's funny, right? We always talk about revenue versus cost, and people are supposed to care about both things. But, you know, overwhelmingly, 99% of people care about revenue more than they care about cost. And it's just an unfortunate thing, but that's just the way that the world works. We are a cost saver, you know, and I think when you look at it from that perspective, the question is, you know, how do we manage to do that? And it's because we focus on retention, right? This tool helps with retention. Okay. In terms of replacing an employee, you know, it's not just about finding new employees, it's about the lost time that you have with that employee once they leave. It's about, you know, training the new person to come on board. It's about, you know, setting the culture, et cetera. The average cost of hiring a new employee is something, I mean, it depends on what you read, but it's somewhere between 5,000 and 20,000 ringgit per employee. You know, there are certain companies that have 5 to 10% attrition. You know, you take a 10,000 person company with a 10% attrition yearly, that's 1,000 people, you know, 5,000 ringgit on average per. That's a significant saving if you can even save, you know, 20 or 30% of that staff from leaving. So we are very much a cost saver. I think it just needs, you know, an understanding from people's perspective that because of things like the Great Resignation, because people are leaving all the time, you know, it's not just shall we go out and hire more people, and that's what's predominantly been the, you know, the mantra, like let's go out and find more people. But you know, when you ask every one of our clients, what have you done to stop these people from leaving, the answer is usually nothing, because we don't know what we can do. This is exactly where earned wage access fits in. It's free for an employer to use. So, you know, if I turn around to somebody and I said, I could save you, you know, 500,000 ringgit a year for nothing but just implementing this, and it takes, you know, a couple of hours a month at most, what would you say? You know, it becomes a much more compelling argument.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to go back to the employee's perspective. I want to talk about how do you prevent misuse on this platform? Because as a platform that provides employees with early extra cash, free of interest, there's always the opportunity for employees to abuse this privilege by requesting perhaps salary, frequent salary advances, or even bigger portions, right? So what measures are there in place to prevent such misuse?
There are a few things really. So one is you can only take out up to 50% of what you've earned so far. So there is a limit, which means that it may not solve every single person's problem. They need, you know, 10, 20,000 ringgit for whatever reason, it won't solve that problem, but it solves, you know, 99% of the problems that people actually face on a monthly basis. The other part of it is we typically limit the number of withdrawals that someone can take out during a given month. So that they would use it responsibly, right? We wouldn't want someone to take out money every single day, as an example, because there is a question on how good that actually is for their financial well-being and financial management. So these are the main two things that we actually use as control measures to make sure that someone doesn't abuse it. But you know, most importantly, we've actually done the seen all our data on how much people have actually taken out, and they don't actually take out 50% of the salary, which they could. On average, it's about 20%. And when we kind of ask, you know, you pay a flat fee, why do you not take out, you know, as much as you possibly can? And we find out that inherently they've actually used this quite responsibly. So they say they take out what they need, and they don't want to take out too much because it means that they don't have enough money at the end of the month when they get their paycheck to fulfill all the other financial obligations that they would have to face on a month-to-month basis.
Okay. Well, financial well-being and financial literacy is a very pertinent topic, especially in Malaysia. When you look at our household debt, it is the highest in Southeast Asia. and more than half of Malaysians, or almost half of Malaysians, are living paycheck to paycheck. Talk to us about the potential of paid, and just to help people to escape that vicious debt of being in debt and living paycheck to paycheck.
Most people ask us, why did you start with earned wage access, right? It's a product that neither the employee nor the employer has known about before we got into the market. The truth is, you can't tell somebody to be financially literate and financially better off without giving them a solution to be financially less stressed. So that was the first thing we wanted to tackle, right? How can we get these individuals to feel like they're in control of their own finances? Now that we've given them access to earned wage access, the next thing is financial literacy in our minds. And one of the things we've done is we've partnered with another company, the biggest financial literacy provider in Malaysia, to start providing financial literacy on our platform. So that's going to be out in the next sort of 6 weeks to 2 months. And the idea there is to give, you know, every individual on our platform an understanding of what their current financial health is and tools to help build on that and, you know, methods to do that. Beyond that, you know, we're looking at things like savings on the platform, allowing individuals to save money elsewhere. The thing that a lot of individuals have told us so far, and what we find really striking, is, you know, they all want to save money. They all want to try and be better off. But the truth is, as soon as the money comes into their account, they're budgeting for what they have to spend on.
Yeah.
So we're trying to give them a separate means to be able to have a, you know, a savings account, basically, without actually having to open one, where they can put money aside for specific reasons, you know, whether that be their kids' education or something like that. So that's the way we're going. We're really trying to get them, you know, help in a way that they can actually appreciate it. But before we've done any of that, we really just wanted to make sure that we put them in a position that they don't have to think, you know, that 3 hours that they spend, they don't have to spend that time looking for funding or going to illegal means to do so.
Right. Justin, how has it been educating this demographic, the B40? What has been the challenges? Because, you know, finances are tight. I know people are just thinking the next day, the next week, and not so much about financial literacy or financial wellness. It's just trying to get by most of the time.
Well, I think, like Darvesh mentioned, we've partnered with Ringgit Plus in order to provide financial literacy courses within our app. You know, we can actually go to a point where we actually have in-person courses if the company wants us to do that. All of that is accredited by the HRDF, so it's claimable from the HRD fund as well. You know, I think it's, you know, earned wage access is just the first part around reducing financial stress, right? We want to get them really to the part of financial freedom, so much more financially literate, you know, understanding things about insurance, how that has an impact on your life, actually giving responsible lending, whether it's asset-backed loans or with good interest rates, because, you know, actually the credit risk is mitigated. Or even teaching them about investments, but you don't kind of go living paycheck to paycheck to understanding what insurance you need to buy or why it's important for you, right? So we see financial literacy as quite an important piece before you get there. So yeah, we see it reducing financial stress, improving financial literacy, increasing financial stability through a savings product, and then more towards financial freedom and financial inclusion.
Right. I do wonder what's driving this passion, both of you, in earned wage access and just trying to help improve financial management for especially those who are struggling. What's your story, Justin? What's driving you, and what do you hope to achieve with paid?
For me, like, I'm Malaysian, right? So Malaysian is my home. Malaysia is my home. I've always kind of known that this problem existed. It's not something that just happened during the pandemic, although things got worse during that time and there was more awareness. So it's kind of a good time to start an earned wage access business, but really trying to solve the problem for vast majority of the Malaysian population, putting them in a better position after coming onto our app than they were before. You know, really looking at the financial inclusion piece of it, giving them access to all these financial products which they previously didn't have access to before. Or like Darvesh touched on previously, you know, the more well-off you are, typically the cheaper it is for your financial services, and the worse off you are, typically it's more expensive. So it's just level that playing field as well.
It's a very good point. Darvesh, what about you?
He stole all the good points there. No, in all honesty, you know, for me, it goes back to what I said. You know, I lived in Nigeria for quite a while, and the key thing that came across is always that, you know, people who need it the most don't get access to it, and finding something that can actually make a difference was pretty key. You know, what keeps us going and what keeps us motivated is the fact that, you know, about 65% of Southeast Asia is underbanked. You know, we don't see earned wage access as what we do. We see it as one of the tools that we can help. We're a financial well-being platform. You know, bringing things to these individuals who are you know, underserved in terms of insurance, underserved in terms of savings, underserved in terms of, you know, products that actually fit their needs. If you live day to day, you shouldn't have to pay for insurance for the next 3 years in order to get a good product. You should be able to, you know, pay for it as you can afford it. And so there's a need out there for individuals, and they're not being spoken for. So that's what drives us, right? It's giving them an opportunity when no one else will. And I think when you ask about the employer and why they should care, I think if not us and if not them, then who? That's the question.
So thank you so much, Darvish, and also Justin, for spending some time to talk to me about earned wage access and
thank
the wonderful things
us.
That you're doing. Yes, that's a great advice.